Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by Edwards Heritage Consulting. Edwards Heritage Consulting focuses on helping you discover your heritage and roots and is passionate about family, heritage architecture, and genealogy. For more information, contact Helen by email, heritagelady@gmail.com. Again, that's heritagelady@gmail.com. Let her know you found her from OTR Westerns. This episode's going to be Gunsmoke. Original air dates June 11th, 1961, and the title is Doc's Visitor. Hope you enjoy, and again, stay till the end, because you're going to find some more voicemails.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
They agree, those who think young, they tempt deeply. They pick the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young, so go ahead and pick the drink that lets you drink young as you think. Yes, get the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young.
I'm coming. Don't give a man a chance to tend to his business. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like a room.
Oh, yes, sir. I have a nice one, second floor front. If you would just sign the register.
Yeah, all right.
There. That's fine. I didn't mean to sound out of sorts.
No, it's quite all right.
I thought it was one of them cowhands pestering for something again.
Can you tell me where I can find Dr. Adams?
Doc Adams? Yeah. Well, sure. Oh, say, I sure hope you ain't ailing.
No, I feel fine.
Well, that's good. Doc Adams ain't exactly what you'd call fancy, but, I suppose he's all right for ordinary doctor.
Can you direct me to his office?
Oh, yes, sir, I certainly can. Now, you go down to the end of the block, across the street, and up the stairs on the side of the building. There's a sign. Dr. C. Adams, it says.
Yes, thank you. Now, if you'll see that my bag is taken up to my room.
Oh, I certainly will do that, Mr. Weber.
Dr. Weber. Oh, good day.
Yes, certainly, Dr. Weber. Now, there's a man that looks like a doctor ought to look.
Pardon me, sir.
How's that?
I wonder if you could give me some information.
What do you want to know, mister?
I'm looking for Dr. Adams.
That's his office up there.
Yes, I've just been there, but he isn't in.
He ain't, huh?
I was hoping you might know where I could find him.
I ain't got no use for a doctor.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case...
You looked in the Long Branch?
The Long Branch?
It's saloon down the street there.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Doctor's likely to be there as anywhere else. He spends a lot of time there.
I see. Much obliged.
It must be a slow day in Dodge to get both of you in here in the middle of the afternoon.
Don't tempt fate.
Well, Kitty, you better not talk about it or the whole town might bust loose.
That happens every Saturday night.
And I just assumed it didn't happen on a Wednesday.
Me too, Matt. Patching up a bunch of brawling cowhands isn't my idea of a quiet weekend.
Maybe we could get Kitty to stop selling whiskey, Doc.
Well, that might quiet things down a little bit. How about that, Kitty?
Well, if you two would guarantee to support me for the rest of my life, I'd... Are you looking for somebody, mister?
Yes, I am looking for Dr. Adams.
Well, I'm Dr. Adams.
Well, how do you do? My name is Weber. Dr. William Weber.
Oh, pleased to meet you. This is Kitty Russell.
Russell?
Hello, Doctor.
Marshall Dillon.
Marshall.
Doctor.
Would you care to sit down, Dr. Weber?
Well, thank you, Miss Russell. Actually, I have come to talk business with Dr. Adams.
Oh, well, in that case, Doctor, we'll leave the table to you. Won't we, Matt?
Well, sure, Kitty.
Oh, please, no, I didn't mean
to. Oh, we'd be glad to.
Now, just wait a minute, Kitty. I have an office of my own.
Yeah, you do it that.
And I can conduct my business affairs there. So, you just come with me, Dr. Weber.
Certainly, Dr. Adams. Good day, Miss Russell. Marshall.
Bye.
So long.
Doc sounded kind of huffy to me.
He's not huffy, Kitty. It's his professional pride. He doesn't often get a chance to show it.
What is a newsman's first duty? His prime responsibility. It can be summed up in three words: get the story. To get that story requires ingenuity and resourcefulness. His integrity prevents him from slanting a story for sensationalism's sake. Good newsmen view their responsibility as one which requires them to convey word of the day's events with speed, accuracy, and objectivity. That's the reputation gained by CBS newsmen through many years of bringing the news to CBS radio listeners from coast to coast. Today, as for decades, you're always sure of getting the news fast, first, via CBS News on CBS Radio.
Come right in, Doctor.
Thank you.
Get a place here. Sit down. Here.
Thank you.
Well, it's never easy to learn of an old friend's death. We doctors run into it all the time. It's never easy.
Yes, I'm sorry to bring the news, Dr. Adams, but Dr. Wilson wanted it that way. You must have been very close at one time.
Yes, very close. Henry and I went through medical college together.
Yes, I...
Started up in practice. And then the war came. Life has many dislocations, Dr. Weber.
It does indeed. My purpose in coming here, Dr. Adams, was not merely to bring you the unhappy news of Henry Wilson's death. It was to outline some of his last wishes. They concern you.
Concern me?
Yes, sir. Dr. Wilson wanted your help.
Well, I don't know what you're getting at, Dr. Weber. It doesn't make sense. A successful man like Henry Wilson wanting help from me?
It's because of his success.
Well, I don't understand.
Yes, well, Dr. Wilson had established a clinic in Philadelphia.
Yes, I've heard of it.
That's why I'm here. He wanted you to take charge of it after his death.
He wanted me?
Mm. He had a high professional opinion of you, Dr. Adams.
We handled some interesting cases together. Very interesting.
But even more than your professional ability, Dr. Wilson respected your judgment in handling people.
Well, I don't understand.
There's some fine young doctors at his clinic, but he felt the man in charge should be an older doctor.
Well, I'm older, all right.
A man of seasoned judgment as well as professional skill. A man of varied experience. Well, a man like you, Dr. Adams.
I see.
It would mean a life of greatly increased medical opportunity for you. Advanced methods, research, and... It would mean a life of greater... Well, comfort.
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? After all these years, a chance to go back to practice medicine as I started out to practice it.
It would be a position of considerable importance and influence, Dr. Adams. And I should think of considerable financial satisfaction. Dr. Wilson wanted to be sure the job was attractive to you. He wanted you to come.
Yes, that would be something.
Doc! Doc! Oh,
come in, boy.
It's Billy.
Oh.
It's his arm, Doc. Moss said you was to look at it.
Oh, well, sure.
Come on in, Billy.
Well, you won't be able to ride that new colt with a bum arm, will you? All right, then, come in.
It won't hurt you none, Billy.
Now then, boy, let's have a look at it. Oh, yes. Looks like you're falling off that colt already.
That's right, Doc. He sure did.
Well, we'll have to put this back together for you then, Billy. Oh, Dr. Weber, would you mind getting some gauze and splints out of that cupboard over there?
Yes, certainly.
Now, let's see here, Billy. I guess the first thing to do is to get that shirt off.
Here they are, Dr. Adams.
Oh, thank you. All right now, Billy. We'll fix you up as good as new.
Thank you, Doc. Bye.
Bye, boys.
The youngster stood that very well, didn't he?
Oh, they have to learn to stand things when they're young and on the prairie. It's a harsh land.
Well, you know, Doctor, if you stop to think of the proposal I brought with me...
I've been thinking of it.
Life wouldn't be quite so harsh in Philadelphia. Though I must say, little boys break their arms there, too.
Well, they always did. Yes, Dr. Weber, life would be easy. That's not what I'm thinking about the most. It's the thought of the equipment, the chance to use the latest method, to talk things over with doctors, be near libraries. I'd have to learn how to act, Dr. Weber.
Oh, no, Dr. Wilson didn't worry about that.
Ah, Henry was an old and faithful friend.
All right, Chester, all right. Well, Doc, there's a fellow that was just rung into jail, and he's been shot, and Mr. Dillon said for you to come.
Was he bleeding bad, Chester?
Oh, my, yes, like a stuck hog. Oh,
I'll be right there. Hello, this is Dr. Weber, Chester.
Hello, Chester.
Hi, Doctor. Well, I reckon I'll get back downstairs.
Yeah, but go on, Chester, go on. I'm coming out.
Here's your bag, Dr. Adams.
Oh, thank you. Say, you'd make a good assistant, Dr. Weber. Oh. Would you like to come with me?
I would indeed.
You know, sometimes these gunshot wounds cause a lot of trouble. Even if they don't hit a vital spot. You know, bleeding, infection, in constant danger, lockjaw.
A gun can cause many problems.
Too many, Dr. Weber.
Dr. Adams!
Oh, hello, Miss Hoffman.
I was just coming to see you, Doctor.
It'll have to be a little later then, Mrs. Hoffman.
Oh, it ain't that I need you, Dr. Adams. I just want to thank you. Why, there ain't hardly anybody who'll believe I'm up and around so soon.
Well, that's fine, but we're in kind of a hurry
and
now.
And, baby, you wouldn't know there'd been a bit of trouble about him. He's eating like he was trying to catch up with his paws.
Well, that's good, Miss, but you'll have to excuse me now.
I just wanted to say a word of thanks to you, Doctor. Bonnie likes the chance to say us thanks.
Sounds like a satisfied customer.
Previa placenta. That was a dangerous delivery, Doctor. She's lucky.
You can't very well afford to specialize, can you, Doctor?
I specialize in Dodge City. Let's see about that bullet wound. Isn't exactly Philadelphia food, Dr. Weber, but it keeps us going.
All doctors learn to eat when they get the chance. Though I must say, our pace is generally slower than yours.
I dare say.
Your morning has been rather full. A broken arm, bullet wound, a pair of twins.
And don't forget the sick horse I
I'm not likely to forget that. No, seriously, Dr. Adams, don't you think the practice I can offer you in Philadelphia would give you a more productive life?
Well, I'm trying to get the time to think about it, Dr. Weber. I can't deny that it is an interesting idea. It's very interesting. The opportunity?
The opportunities for participating in medical advances would be tremendous. And I should think most satisfying. And there's something else, Doctor, that I don't wish to sound presumptuous.
Oh, don't you worry about it. I know. I'm getting older.
It's just that life might be easier.
Doc.
It's Mary. She's fainted dead away. I can't rouse her.
Where is she?
Well, she's out to the place. I had a ride to get you.
All right, Tom. Go on back to her. I'll come.
Right away, Doc?
Right away. Oh, you stay on and finish your dinner, Doc.
Well, certainly not. I don't want to miss any of this.
The roots of athlete's foot grow down here, down under the skin surface. But NP27 treatment penetrates down. Where other remedies can't reach, roots out athlete's foot. Even penetrates into toenails. NP27 stops itch, relieves pain, promotes growth of healthy skin, guards against new infection. NP27 treatment roots out athlete's foot. Or your druggist will refund your money. Get NP27 treatment.
Doc, I'm glad you got here so fast.
She's roused some, but it hurts her awful bad.
All right, Tom. Oh, this is Dr. Weber from Philadelphia.
Hello.
We'll look at it together.
Hello, Tom.
Doc?
Yes, Tom? You sure this fellow's a good doctor?
I'm sure he is, Tom. Let's go.
Is he as good as you are, Doc?
Well, most people say he was better.
I'd want to be sure before he seen Mary.
You can be sure.
Okay. I'll tell her you're here.
Thanks for your recommendation, Doctor. A man wouldn't get far without it.
No, they just know me.
In here, Doc.
Well, hello, Mary. This is Dr. Weber.
Doc. Can you help me?
If you'll let me.
You mean that operation?
Well, I told you, Mary. You should have had it before. It's the only chance you've got.
Tom?
I can't say no again, Mary. You just took too bad. You go ahead, Doc.
Would you assist me, Dr. Wilson?
I'd be proud to, Dr. Adams. Dr. Adams. Dr. Adams.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking.
I wondered if you'd noticed. Well, it looks to me like an Indian waiting there by the road.
Oh, yes, yes, I see him.
Well, I guess the best way is to pay no attention to him, isn't it?
No,
Dr. Adams.
He wants to talk to me.
Well, are you sure you should?
Well, hello, Strongbird.
I bring robe.
That is a fine robe, Strongbird. You killed a big buffalo.
The robe is for my son's eyes.
You didn't need to bring a gift, Strongbird. I was glad to help.
White doctor brings sight back to son. Strongbird brings thanks from his people.
You tell your people that they're welcome. I thank them for the robe.
Yeah. Strongbird, go.
Dr. Weber, can you hold this robe for me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Yes, certainly. Dr. Adams, you treat Indians too?
Well, only when they'll let me, Dr. Weber. Only when they'll let me.
Dr. Adams.
Yes?
We have a lot of things to offer you in Philadelphia, but I was wrong about one thing. We can't offer you more variety. I have seen some astounding things today. I just watched you perform a delicate and dangerous operation under the crudest circumstances, and perform it with as much skill as though you had the latest equipment.
Well, you learn to use what you've got, Dr. Weber.
And I've seen you receive thanks from a wild Indian.
Oh, Indians are people.
You know, I wasn't so sure at first, Dr. Adams. But now I know. We would be very lucky to have you in Philadelphia. If you feel you can come.
Well, I'd like to come, but...
But you're not coming, are you?
No, I guess I'm not. A man has to stay where he's needed. I haven't made much of a mark in medicine. Then maybe I'd have more of a chance of that, but I'm needed here, Dr. Weber. I'm needed here. Can you understand that?
I can understand it, Dr. Adams. And I can even envy you.
Here's your bag, Dr. Weber.
Thank you. Here's payment for my bill.
Thank you, sir. I hope you had a pleasant stay in Dodge City.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
It was certainly a pleasure having a man like you visit us. I hope you'll come again.
Thank you.
We don't get a chance to see a fine doctor in Dodge very often.
Oh, yes, you do, Mr. Doby. Yes, you do. Every day.
Proud we are of being the CBS Radio Network to be able to bring you on this station each weekday the songs of Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney. In addition to the sparkling Bing Crosby-Rosemary Clooney show, we're equally delighted to present at this same address each weekday the assorted talents of Art Linkletter, the house party man, Gary Moore and Durwood Kirby, and the rousing Arthur Godfrey time. There's no business like show business, and nowhere else such a fine sampling of the same than on this blockbuster CBS Radio Network Entertainment Fest. Nicest thing about it is, should you miss any or all of these great stars on a Monday, you can catch right up with them the next day, or any weekday you're so inclined. Remember, nowhere else can you enjoy, each and every weekday, the Bing Crosby Rosemary Clooney Show, the conversational gifts of Gary Moore and his perfect foil, Durwood Kirby, the kids' comedy and cut-ups of Art Linkletter's House Party, and the air of glee with gusto that's a specialty of Arthur Godfrey time.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Marion Clark, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Virginia Gregg, Vic Perrin, Ralph Moody, Sam Edwards, and James Nuther. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
Laughs are on Arthur Godfrey every weekday on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Joe Todd. I just wanted to say that I enjoyed the Gunsmoke podcast because as a young child, I listened to or looked at the TV show with James Arness, and it was nice to see a different flavor shown on that show. Also enjoyed the commercials because some of the latter sessions that you showed. Actually, I'm from Dallas, and so some of the places that were mentioned there brought back memories. Thank you again for providing the recordings, and have a nice day.
Thanks for calling in, Todd. There is something special with these commercials because they represent a time that was completely different. I mean, some of the stuff we look back, you know, I cut out some of the cigarette ads because we know better now, right? Looking back, they didn't know what they were doing, or maybe they did, and I don't know. Let's not get into that whole thing, but it is kind of nostalgic, especially since some of these episodes weren't all from the same location. So you didn't necessarily get ads just to, I don't know, the LA area, but you'd also get ads from other areas throughout the nation, depending on where the radio clips were archived from and saved. So that by itself is something that's just different because you hear these, you know, radio episodes and you just, you know, don't realize that's how it all started. So yeah, definitely know what you mean. Thanks for calling in, and I do appreciate your feedback.
Hi, my name is Joe Fellow from Verona, Pennsylvania. I'd like to comment on the program Gunsmoke. For the last two or three years, I think I've listened to just about every episode of Gunsmoke, and I must comment on the music of Rex Corey. Always sets the episode scene, and the sound effects are amazing. Where have you ever heard gunfire, boots walking on wood planks, or horses galloping on dirt roads like you have on Gunsmoke? People like the supporting casts of John Diener, especially Ralph Moody, Barney Phillips, Jeannie Bates, James Nusser. You can almost identify them in every episode and even in other old-time radio programs. And they support, they complement the cast, the regular cast, Parley Bear, George Ellis, Howard McNair are just amazing. But the true star of that program, the true star of old-time radio, I believe, is William Conrad. What a voice. What a personality. The man is amazing. The man was amazing. I just can't say enough how much I respect him as an actor. Well, that's about it. I bet you can't tell. I really enjoyed Gunsmoke. Thanks for asking. I know.
Thanks for the call, Joe. You have, again, something that has been brought up before, and I can't go any further than saying if it wasn't for Gunsmoke and the quality that they did, I don't think I would even have done the episodes. As popular as it was, man, the quality of not just the show, but the scripts, the quality of acting, and the Foley artists who made that sound. You know, when you get on a horse and you have that leather sound of the bridles and everything, I mean, how do you do that? So it's true artistry of making it sound. And then, again, you mentioned the music. You're absolutely right. Granted, we don't get a lot of music in Gunsmoke, but your bum-ba-bum, you know, just the sounds is like nothing else. They invoke emotion by themselves, and I deeply appreciate your phone call and bringing that up. And Gunsmoke's going to be missed, but I think, like the others have said, I think redoing the series again is going to be definitely something that I'm going to look forward to. So thanks again for the call, and I hope you have yourself a good day, sir.
Hi, Andrew. My name is Izzy. I'm calling from beautiful Boise, Idaho. I've been a fan of your show for a while now, and it's been great. My grandmother remembers the show when it first aired, and it's been fun watching, or listening, rather, to Gunsmoke with her when I visit her on the weekends. And plus, as someone who drives for a living, it's nice having the episodes to listen to on my long trips. Thank you very much for all the hard work that you do. I'm very sad to see that the podcast is going away, but I look forward to hearing all of your future endeavors. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Izzy. Listening to these with other people, especially people who may have remembered them as a child, the original time when they came out, I mean, the 50s and your grandmother, yeah, probably as a child she was listening to these. So listening to them kind of replayed and having those memories reintroduced, and, you know, they, something about sound and smell and taste really bring back memories that you don't realize you have. And you can hear a sound or you can smell something and just remember being in front of the radio and listening to these. So I definitely appreciate that. And Boise, Idaho, do you know Adam Graham? Because, I mean, he is from Boise. Doesn't everybody know everybody? Anyway, so we'll let that be. And I'm assuming you don't know Adam Graham personally because, you know, Boise isn't a small city anymore. So thanks for calling. Appreciate your feedback. And yeah, hope you listen to some of the other episodes. And again, keep calling in, guys. These voicemails help me keep the show up and running and let me realize how many of you guys care and want to keep hearing stuff. So thanks again. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Like and rate it in iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook, and send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to OTRWesterns.com/copyright. Have a great day, and again, thanks for listening.